are listening to Right Back Atcha, the Noughties pop music podcast with myself, Joel Babington, and the man who rocks the legendary Thank You Baby Bob nearly as well as Jenny herself, David Lim.
It is my absolute goal to achieve the signature Jenny Frost Bob. I'm not quite there yet. You know, with my lockdown hair, I feel like this is more Victoria Beckham circa Stop video.
Yes, it is. And you have that shirt that's kind of esque of that. There's a Brit Awards performance that I like to think it's similar to.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you.
You have rocked the Thank You Baby Bob in the past, and I think you're rocking it now.
Well, what can I say? Thank you, baby.
Exactly.
This is going to get old so quickly. And we're like 30 seconds into it and we're already rinsing Jenny's signature line. So.
Well, no, do you know what? We're going to get it out the way here because that isn't what we're talking about today. You know,
no,
that's another era.
That is.
So, David, we've already spoken this week in the, you know, behind the scenes look there. Shall we not ask each other how we are?
No, because we talk all the time.
It's like when the Spice Girls had just broken up and they were all saying, yeah, speak to them all the time.
We do, though. We do message on multiple platforms. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I've replied to you on Twitter or I need to reply to you on Instagram or I need to reply to you on WhatsApp or emails. Like, we are a very multi-connected friendship.
Well, look, I know that if I need a quick answer from you, I'll follow it up on another platform. That I'll have a quicker reply.
Yeah. Oh, he's just posted an Insta story 2 seconds ago. Let's hit him up there.
I've seen you been tweeting and storying. Right, David, we have been blessed with a few more wonderful 5-star reviews. Do you want to take it away and read one out for us?
So, guys, thank you once again so much for your support in sharing Right Back Atcha with your pop-loving friends and just, you know, the energy and just the love that you guys are showing the artist that we're covering as well. Like, it's just amazing to have this nostalgic trip together. We really appreciate any support you can give us on Apple, especially if you leave a 5-star review that helps bump us up or something or give us more visibility. So we really, really appreciate that. And we've had a couple of new ones this week. This one's by CBall999 and the title is Poptastic. Always a joy to see a new episode up. Guaranteed fun and lols. Why would you want to sit and read the Wikipedia pages when you can listen to these two read / laugh / do voices and reminiscing on the good times? All pop fans need to listen. !
Wow, I love that. I mean, Wikipedia, we are available to read out. Just hire us. We can do the Wikipedia audiobook, the Noughties Pop Edition.
Joel, I think on your tombstone, it needs to say we are available because that just seems to be your thing. Like, you're very agreeable to doing stuff. Do you remember that tweet we got last night or the other
yesterday.
Night? Yesterday. Yeah. Where they were like, oh, I want Joel and David to narrate my life. And you're like, we are available.
Today, we are what I feel like, David, and I don't know if you agree. I feel like we're going back to our roots of what our podcast is all about. We are covering two iconic girl bands from the very late 90s and very early noughties. They may have only been around for a few years, but to me, they are a mainfold of pop culture of the time and two huge reference points for both of us, I'd like to say, and for most pop-loving fans of this era.
So we're absolutely delighted to do a double bill episode covering Cleopatra and Precious, two iconic British girl groups that really deserved a bit more time in the sun. But you know what? The industry is tough, we get it, and sometimes things work, sometimes things don't work out. But what we're here to do is just celebrate and just embrace the time that we had with them when they were absolutely killing it. So shout out to Cleopatra, shout out to Precious. We want to take everyone on this journey with us.
So strap in, guys. Get on board. Get a glass of wine. You know, we are here. Cheers, David. Cheers to you, darling.
Oh, cheers. I'm still on my coffee. I haven't moved to my wine yet.
So if you've been living under a rock, or if you're younger than us, you might not know who Cleopatra and Precious are. Cleopatra are a girl band made up of three sisters hailing from Manchester. And these girls have such a big story. They were managed by their mum. There's stories of these girls knocking down industry doors, showing up to record labels, management, and just singing in reception. I have so much admiration for the balls and gusto they have. They're eventually signed to Warner in the UK and signed to Madonna's label in the US. They became huge so quickly here in the UK.
You know, they had top 20 singles. The following year, they had a TV show. Mm. They did a Disney cruise. They did a Disney Channel special. They were on American daytime talk shows. Like, their arrival was huge. And not just here in the UK, but in the US as well.
But a main point out for me, David, is that before they were on TV, before any singles were out, they supported Louise on her very first tour in 1997, Louise's Soft and Gentle Tour.
Wow. And it's a very good fan base to tap into for a pop R&B girl group like Cleopatra.
Yeah, exactly. Still those eternal fans.
So Precious is an amazing five-piece girl group, obviously very much known and loved for representing the UK at Eurovision in 1999 in Jerusalem.
Make Eurovision great again. I think we peaked when we sent Precious to Eurovision. And this is from someone that loves Eurovision. What's really interesting about Precious is they were put together by a management team who wanted to create a girl band for the American market. So All Saints and Spice Girls had done really big things in America. And this management team, you know, wanted a piece of the action. They thought there was room for another edgy girl band from the UK. So they'd been rehearsing and putting themselves together, establishing their act, ready to launch in the industry. And while that was all happening, one of their very first demos that they recorded, Say It Again, had been submitted to Eurovision. Without them really knowing, the songwriter submitted it. And that opportunity came out of the blue. So they ran with it. And that probably kind of changed the way of Precious were meant to launch, but I'm thankful it did. And that's kind of the origins of both in a roundabout way. But yeah, in February 1998 in the UK, Cleopatra released their monumental debut single, Cleopatra's Theme. And they are Cleopatra. And as they're telling us, they're coming at ya. Like, this is the template of the smash hit song of the era. And it's just always been on heavy rotation on my iPod. And I just remember there's been times where, like, I've put on this song and really gone for it. And people have been like, wow, you really like this song, don't you? Because it's like, if you listen to this song, you can't not go for it. You know, it's such high energy. You're going to get the shoulders on. You want to jump around. You want to sing aloud to the top of your voice. You just can't deny you can't deny the power of Cleopatra coming at you.
Amen to that. Joel, I was so excited the first time I saw this video. I was a kid living in Malaysia at the time. You know, my dad had probably got cable TV that year in 1998. So I was discovering MTV for the first time, Channel V. I was just living my best life. And I saw these three girls, these three sisters, jumping up and down on their beds, dressed really cool, like not overly girly. I just love their styling. It was kind of casual, but also really, really cool.
It's very kind of like TLC Juniors.
Yes.
It's kind of like part America, part anime, part cartoon, part every bright colour palette, and then a whole lot of fashion and a whole lot of iconic.
And, you know, one of the girls, one of the sisters always has like some sort of goggle, like ski goggles or something on top of her head. Like, it was such a cool look.
Oh, I love that styling.
So we got Zenim, the older sister. She would have been about 17 when the girls debuted. Cleopatra Madonna Higgins, the lead singer.
Oh, it's meant to be, isn't
it? It's meant to be, isn't it? With a middle name like that. So she was about 15, 16 when Cleopatra debuted. And then Yona is the third member, age 14. They do have a younger sister, Terry, that makes a very prominent cameo throughout their careers.
Mm.
And so does their mum, who sings backup for them as well.
I know, that's fascinating, isn't it?
It's girl power family affair. I love it.
So, David, what a debut single this was. It is their, you know, it's their signature song. You can't say Cleopatra without saying Coming At Ya. 1998, we've had the Spice Girls. Billie Piper is about to come out if she hasn't already come out. It really encapsulates that vibe and that era and British pop at its best. It hits you with a punch. It's full of colours. I loved Cleopatra because they felt so relatable. I was like 7, 8 years old. It felt like they could be your friends if your friends were incredibly dressed and even more talented, you know?
The music video was just high production value. I remember seeing that and thinking, wow, this must be like a big American girl group.
And it really not introduces you to just Cleopatra, but the Cleopatra brand. You know, you've got the mum there, you've got the younger sister. And I guess that's also why it's more relatable to you. And to me as a kid, it felt...
Do you feel like that was like such a little setup, looking back now, that was such a setup for them to get their own TV show?
Yeah, so it's really interesting that the TV show doesn't start till the end of this year, because it feels like watching that and what we know of it and the setup of the TV show, they go so hand in hand with each other. So I wonder if that was already being filmed.
Obviously, we've covered S Club 7 in a previous episode, and they launched with the TV show first, and then the album and the music came very, very closely. It all makes sense. It all links up.
So this song, before we even get into the charts, in America, this peaked at number 4 on the TRL countdown and was heavy rotation on MTV, VH1 and BET. So that is signs of a huge launch straight from the get-go.
It's so amazing that just watching back interviews they were doing at this time as well, and they sang a cappella, they sang Life Ain't Easy, which is the next single. And Cleo's voice... The clarity in that when she opens her mouth and belts, I was just like, this is unreal. Like, this is insane.
It is just a powerful, amazing voice.
Would you sing a little bit of it? I'm going to spring this. I'm actually springing this on you. And you,
I did... When I see those people feeding hungry in the street, I put myself in their shoes, finding safer places to see. People just want that them when they know there's something wrong. When all I want to know is why do something's going on? Because life ain't easy.
Oh, life ain't easy.
Shall we talk about chart positions?
Let's talk about chart positions. So, David, this song was a number 3 smash hit here in the UK. Hit number 25 in Australia. What were you guys doing there? Number 26 in America, which is really impressive.
Really impressive for a debut, yes.
For a debut from a British band. And, you know, you've got to look at the stats and it's like literally pick a country. Number 11 in Ireland, number 6 in New Zealand, shout out to New Zealand, 7 in Scotland, 14 and 8 in Belgium, respectively. And on the European Hot 100 singles, number 26.
And also shout out to all three sisters because they share songwriting credit on this song. So ka-ching!
In February, they've launched here in the UK, and then in April 1998, Madonna introduces them at the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards in America. What a way to start off your career overseas.
Now, if you watch back any interviews that you can find on YouTube of Cleopatra in this time, the number one incessant question they always get asked about is Madonna. What was it like meeting Madonna? Has she given you any advice and all that? And it's just one of those things that just dominates the narrative, but also at the same time, it makes people sit up and go, oh, this is a girl group that Madonna has signed. So it's not the worst thing in the world.
History likes to say, and the press likes to say, Madonna signed her to her label. But I think, and they're so funny because in interviews, they're quick to say, well, actually, no, our management discovered us and they've got us where we are, which is so sweet.
I would want Jenny Frost, but... You know.
Yeah, I would want Jenny.
I can settle for Madonna. Yeah.
Settle for Madonna. Jenny as the queen of pop in the UK, like introducing the press to the next queens of pop.
Can you imagine Jenny's like, I've started my own label and I've signed these two boys. They're the new Ant and Dec.
No, we are not the new PJ and Duncan. We're the new...
H and Claire.
H and Claire.
You're Claire.
Started... I've started my own label, A Touch of Frost Records.
A Touch of Frost?
I've got the new, they're like H and Claire, but gayer and better. There's going to be a whole lot more spoken word. And the new single is Thank You Baby, the Almighty Remix single edit.
And the Digital Spy review is the gay uncle version of Mini Viva. enough about our fictitious pop duo, and back to Cleopatra, who was actually doing things in real life.
Well, look, if we can't escape during this time, what can we do? So in May 1998, Cleopatra released their second single, Life Ain't Easy.
Never have truer words been spoken.
You gotta lift your head up.
Now, this is a gorgeous follow-up single, and what Cleopatra did in this first era is, yeah, they sung your typical, like, teeny bop songs, but they also had other songs of really good, powerful, wholesome messages, which is what Life Ain't Easy was. I mean, this was a song about homelessness, I believe.
Yeah, I just think it's amazing for a kid's bop that there's so much empathy in the lyrics. I believe Cleo was the main songwriter behind this as well. You know, lyrics like, life don't last forever and forever isn't long, so take a chance in life in this moment. I want that embroidered on a cushion. I want that on a mug. I want that framed in my kitchen. Like, inspirational.
Yeah, that is a lot better than, like, live life love or whatever bullshit other people have on their framed inspirational quotes.
Is it wine o'clock?
I loved the music video for this song. It's kind of like a nice continuation to the first music video. You've got the mum again. You've got the younger sister again. You've got Cleopatra, obviously.
You've even got the Asian neighbour that complained about the noise in the first video. He's now sticking his head out the window and shouting at the girls because they're dancing on cars and stopping traffic.
It's kind of like Billy's Because We Want To, in a way.
Teenagers were running amok in the late 90s, guys.
Teen revolution.
Taking over the streets, jumping on cars, just causing havoc.
And then obviously you've got aspects of animation in there, which is lovely as well.
Like a Lizzie McGuire moment, you know, when animated Lizzie pops up on the screen.
Look at you referencing Lizzie McGuire. Bloody hell, David.
Well, Joel, we've been friends for a long time, so it's kind of crept into my DNA now.
I'm just shocked. I'm shook.
Your impact.
My impact. They were invited to perform at the Vatican for a Christmas concert, and this is the song that they sung. And it's a very beautiful, classy performance. A very, you know, like a real honour for a teen band to have that kind of invite of a very, you know, a very hugely respectable carol concert.
Absolutely incredible, yeah.
So this song was a huge UK number four. 37 in Australia, 20 in Ireland, 52 in New Zealand. No, 7 in New Zealand. New Zealand, you're getting it as always.
Yes, New Zealand, come through.
So, you know, look, they've got an 81 in America. And look, we know, as we always say about America, that might sound low, but that a Billboard Top 100 single is incredible. So really big things going on for Cleopatra. And then in June 1998, they follow it up with their debut album, Coming At Ya.
Now, Joel, I remember seeing this CD and cassette everywhere, all over Malaysia. Like, I remember seeing posters of this album cover just hanging from the ceilings. Like, it was a big push.
How stunning is the artwork
for this album?
Sisters embracing each other with the bright coloured clothing. But then you've got the very serious black background. You've just got, you know, it can both be like a kid-friendly pop album, but then also cater to a more serious market, I think, with that cover. What's interesting is that the original demos for this album, when they were writing and recording these songs originally, recorded in 1997, were all more R&B and soul songs, which were then later remixed for a more pop-sounding album. Which I guess makes sense, and, you know, things just happen along the way, don't they?
You want it to match the energy of Cleopatra's theme as well. You don't want that single, the big single, to be so different from everything else that people come to expect.
What I really like about this album is it does mix songs with great messages. You know, you've got Life Ain't Easy, you've got Don't Suffer in Silence, beautifully sung ballads and mid-tempos, and then there's also some great sounding 90s bops in there. Now, David, what were your standout tracks on this album?
Oh, I love Don't Suffer in Silence. That's definitely one of my highlights on the album. Really funky bop.
Mm.
That lyric, don't you be all alone when you're needing a friend. Like, ugh.
You don't know, even if that hit one kid just listening to that cassette at home and they felt heard, how wonderful is that?
Yeah. They were really giving us Baby Eternal vibes on this album. And once I looked into the credits, Joel, it made sense because they worked with some of the same people that worked with Eternal.
Oh, really?
And Louise.
Oh.
So I loved Don't Suffer in Silence, but also What You Gonna Do, Boy.
Yes, that's one of my standouts.
I think because the album has been so gentle and so empathetic, I was like living for that kind of spicy moment.
This album peaked at number 20 in the UK and was certified silver in the UK by the BPI.
Wow.
And it also hit 109 on the Billboard 200.
It's great to say that they have hits in America. And even if the album wasn't in the top 100, it was still there in the 200.
Yeah, exactly. I would never shut up about it if that was me. So, in August 1998... they released their third single, a Jackson 5 cover of I Want You Back. Now, this makes a lot of sense because they were heavily, or not heavily, but they were often referenced as a new Jackson 5 type band. And to me, this sounds like a Jackson 5 quality vocal, but on an Aaron Carter production.
Oh, shade.
I mean that as a compliment.
Can hear her flexing vocally on this, and it's so satisfying to hear like such great vocals and such sweet clear vocals taking on this song.
Such sweet Cleo vocals sounding on this song. What I think this did greatly is it was one for the parents and the kids.
Yes.
So when you're at the concert or on the radio or listening to the CD or even buying the single, you know, if the kids have got something on repeat, it appeals to the parents as well.
Yeah. We talked about this when we spoke about S Club Juniors and when they covered Puppy Love, and how at the time we were like, oh, it seems a bit old fashioned to cover that song. But, you know, you cannot underestimate the parents' appeal as well. You got to think about that as well.
Exactly. They're the one dishing out the coin.
Mm-hmm.
So this went in at number 4 here in the UK, a third top 5 hit for Cleopatra. It hit number 19 in France, 98 in Germany, 26 in Ireland. What were Ireland doing? I mean, they're charting a bit lower there in Ireland. Come on, guys. Mm. You must get SMTV there as well. Like, what's going on? 13 in New Zealand and not charted in Australia or America. So must have not been serviced over there.
Because really, in my memory, and still in 1998, I was living in Malaysia, I only remember the first two singles. I don't remember anything else that came after the album. So maybe it just wasn't serviced.
Maybe it just wasn't serviced. So that's August 98. And then moving on to September 1998, Cleopatra are invited to support the Spice Girls in their last few United Kingdom dates of their monumental, huge Spice World tour. So they performed at their Wembley Stadium dates.
And at this point, it was four members of the Spice Girls. Jerry had left. So Cleopatra got to be part of Spice World playing Wembley before Jerry. Isn't that wild?
That is wild, but she shouldn't have done a runner, mate.
Some of us are still hurt and tore up about it. So, but I love that picture that you shared with me, Joel, of Cleopatra with the four Spice Girls. Like that just, that is, if that were me, if I was those Cleopatra girls, this would be blown up so big. It would be in every room in the house, the toilet, yeah. The kitchen, the
make
dining
room. Make coasters out of it, tea towels, that your Christmas card every year that you send out to people. Just a Merry Christmas from me. Oh, and my very, very dear close and personal friends, the Spice Girls. It's very like pinch me. How does it get better than that? But still, they somehow managed to do it because in December 1998, they launched their very own CITV show with a 1-hour Christmas special, which then went on into a regular series throughout the next year. Now, this CITV show was really clever because it was part sitcom. It featured the mum and the sister. It had it cut between sitcom, it cut between documentary behind the scenes on the road, and there were performances as well. And it also, you got to know each member of the band and the family as characters that are based on their real lives.
Come on, Yana, open it. Let's see what it is. Come on, open it quickly. Come on, Sam. Come on. Open it. Open the thing.
Beat my Valentine 1539. He's so mysterious.
Why can't I find a man like that? Don't look dying old maid.
Valentine 1539.
That's it.
What's it?
It's a telephone number.
Well, it would be if it had more digits.
It's all on YouTube, by the way, series one. I think maybe series
and
two. And series two. So you can watch the episodes back. You know, if you've got nothing to do in lockdown, just watch the Cleopatra Coming At You series.
When I was a kid slash teenager, it was my dream to be in a pop band that had a TV show. You know, S Club did it, Cleopatra did it, All Stars did it. That's career goals. You can't get better than that.
What would your character be like?
Fun and zesty, cheeky.
Fun and cheeky. I think you'd be the prankster in the pop band. And the one who dresses up a lot.
Yeah.
Master of disguise.
Yeah, if Ryan and Sharpay were one person.
Yeah, that would be your character on the pop star TV show.
What would your character be, David?
The moody, bitchy one.
That's not true.
Well, we need a bit of light and shade, don't we? A bit light of contrast.
That's our duo name, Light and Shade. Light and Shade.
An apostrophe.
And then in March 1999, they released their final single off the debut album, A Touch of Love.
This track, vocally, is perfection.
Stunning, and it's so surprisingly mature, the song and the video.
Yes. So this is obviously, it feels like the mandatory ballad that you have to release at some point in your debut album.
They weren't escaping who they were, but it was a very serious and mature note from such youngsters, and it was really, just really blew me away. Now, this single charted at 24 in the UK, and guess what one other country I've got that it charted in? New Zealand.
What? Come through New Zealand. What number did it do?
Well, number 40 in New Zealand. But let's say they must have all already had the album. Thank you for showing up.
So sadly, this was Cleopatra's first single to miss the top 10 here in the UK. But fantastic, fantastic debut and showing as it is. Every single person in the industry by this point knows who they are, which leads us to When we are now in February 99, the Brit Awards.
Not only were Cleopatra nominated for Best British Newcomer, they performed in the ABBA medley, Thank ABBA for the Music, with Steps, Tina Cousins, Bewitched and Billie Piper, or Billy as she was known then.
Anyone who has this on CD single, like, this is a rarity.
I was at home watching this Brit Awards and I was blown away. I just was obsessed. I absolutely loved it. It was the best thing I'd ever seen.
It was iconic. And I still think, how did Tina Cousins get there? But anyway, it doesn't matter. Because everyone else just seemed like such a kind of smash hits act. Tina Cousins was more of like a house music act, I think. She was more in a club scene.
Gives it depth.
You know, just get that cool auntie from the club charts to just pop on here. Just add a little bit more edge.
Yeah.
It would be like if Danny Minogue appeared on like a special like this with Little Mix and The Vamps and Liam Payne. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying Tina Cousins is that old. Don't include this.
Tina Cousins has liked our Instagram before, David, so you better watch it.
Has she? Yeah. Love you, Tina.
Love you, Auntie Tina. So this song was really hugely successful, David. It peaked at number 4 here in the UK, 9 in Australia. Do you remember? Oh, you weren't in Australia yet, were you?
99 was the year I moved to Australia. So, but I don't remember seeing this CD single in Target or in the shops. So it must have been sold out or snapped up.
Out of stock on arrival. Number 5 in Ireland, 14 in the Netherlands, 6 in New Zealand, and 8 in Sweden. It was a Euro hit.
So we're going to leave Cleopatra for a hot minute and now focus on our other headliner of this episode, Precious. As everyone knows, May is Eurovision season. This particular year, the UK really fucking came through. They come out with Precious, a 5-piece girl band. So we've got Louise Rose, the lead singer. We got Jenny Frost, icon
of our lives,
as very famously known for Atomic Kitten, which she joins after this. Kelly Clark Sternberg, Anya Lahiri, and Sophie McDonald forms this group. The look was sophisticated. They had moves. It was just exciting. And Joel, a couple of nights ago, I went through a real intense Precious phase. Like I was up until like 3 or 4 in the morning.
I know.
Just listening to the album, looking up their performances on YouTube, remixes. And I was texting you incessantly. You were probably trying to sleep.
You were texting me and I said, right, I'm going to go to bed, but read these later. Love you.
Which is how we came to doing this episode at this point.
Yeah, I was just like, he needs this right now.
As you said before, Joel, the idea for Precious doing Eurovision came about quite by accident when the publisher entered Say It Again, one of the only few demos this very, very new girl group had recorded at the time. The songwriter and producer Paul Varney had no idea until it went through. And next thing you know, it was being considered for the Great British Song Contest, which was the show that you guys have here, right? Mm.
Yeah, well, it gets a bit different every year. And this year that Precious did it, they did like a Top of the Pops special by the looks of it. And the audience got to pick.
It's just amazing that there's a BBC documentary on Precious. It's 2 parts on YouTube. You have to check it out. It's so of its time. We see a brunette Jenny Frost, which is like just so shocking to my eyes.
When you like go back and discover Precious for the first time, if you haven't already, your mind and eyes have to adapt and go, that's Jen.
But Jenny is so present in that documentary as well. You really, you know, you go into her family home, you get to know her crew.
Yeah.
Puts her in front of
the I think they were
group.
Gunning for her to sort of be the spokesperson from the amount of airtime she got anyway.
It's about 6 months ago when we formed the band Precious. When I was at school, I never really knew what I wanted to do. And when I told my friends that I was in a band, none of them took it seriously at all. But now they do. I think Eurovision's really got a stigma attached to it. There's people think it's like kiss of death and cheesy and whatever. But hopefully we're going to change that totally. Right, well, I'm not being rude, but it's like 5 minutes and the programme's starting. So do you mind if we just stop being through now so I can go and join my family and friends? Because I want to get a glass of wine and start to watch it.
Okay. You have to go and watch this documentary because it is more like a few days in the life of Jenny Frost. They knew that 20 years down the line, there'd be a Jenny Frost Stan podcast wanting to watch it.
So after winning a chance to represent Britain, Precious was signed by EMI. And there comes the plan to record an album and tour and all that kind of exciting stuff. So it's really quite amazing that a record label will go, okay, these girls could clearly do something. At that point, the UK was doing quite well, right, at Eurovision. The years before, they did quite well.
Yeah, middling to well, yeah.
So what's interesting, Joel, is that I've actually had an experience of this level of Eurovision myself.
When you represented Australia?
No. That wasn't Dami Im, that was me in a wig. In 2016, I represented Joe and Jake, who repped the UK.
So really, you repped the UK. You were representing them, they repped the UK.
So Joe and Jake's management came to us and said, look, we want to do a two-week campaign. We want to make sure the boys get the public's vote to represent the UK at Eurovision. You know, David, what do you think about Eurovision? I was like, you're talking to the right person here. The week of the show, like, I absolutely made sure they killed it. Like, they were in Metro twice. We did a Gay Times shoot.
Were Joe and Jake signed or just management?
It was just management at that point. And once they won the chance to represent the UK, they were snapped up by Sony. And then I wasn't involved anymore, sadly. But it was very fun for me.
The other acts didn't have a look in then, did they? If they've got David Lim doing the PR that in the 2 weeks build up to it. Can we get in the Metro twice and in Gay Times, please? Say it again. This song, literally, I remember I was obsessed with it in 1999. I'm obsessed with it now. I think it's one of the best, if not the best songs we've sent to Eurovision. Mm. Let's send Precious again, Precious Reunion.
So Say It Again was produced by Cutfather and Joe. They're a Danish production duo who at this point had worked with Five, Another Level, CC Peniston. Years and years later, they'll go and do Kylie Minogue's Get Out of My Way and the Saturdays If This Is Love. Wow. So these people know what they're doing, and that's the kind of pedigree of what we were sending to Eurovision, just so people know.
Let's just talk about the night of Eurovision. I just think the performance on the night isn't as good as they could deliver, but I don't, you know, there was probably like playback issues or earpiece issues, which there seems to always be on that bloody event.
But the girls looked amazing. The styling was very slick.
Yeah, all I've got about Eurovision is Jenny Frost, A Star Is Born.
She was giving it in the moves.
She was. She was giving it the energy and the sass, you know, simple moves, but Jenny gave it to 11 because that's all you need.
Yeah, that shoulder shrug was like a 10 out of
a
10. Yeah,
like, look, come on, Atomic Kitten, I'm coming for you, darling. So on the night, Say It Again was the 12th best song at Eurovision. So it's very respectable considering where we chart now, but it's the number one best song of Eurovision to me. Let's talk about the music video to this song.
It's love it.
Very sexy night in Canary Wharf, isn't it?
It's definitely a Canary Wharf apartment, yes.
Moody, sexy night in a flat in Canary Wharf. Very All Saints as well, aesthetically, the music video.
Yes, the colour is very All Saints Never Ever, isn't it?
All Saints palette. So they also made a big, glossy American music video for the song. I've mixed feelings when British acts do US music videos, because a lot of the time they don't feel necessary. Like, if you look at the Atomic Kitten, Hole Again US music video, or the All Saints Never Ever US music video, they don't seem necessary to me. And it seems like that is a lot of money spent that could have been spent on just like pushing the single in other ways.
But I kind of understood the reason for them going with a different look for Say It Again. I guess they wanted to launch a sexier girl group. So, you know, they're putting these five girls on a tropical island. They're dancing in water.
Yeah, so they're very like babes washed ashore in a desert island music video.
So it's looking more like an FHM shoot versus a Moody All Saints music video from the 90s. So Say It Again charted at number 6 in the UK, and it stayed on the UK singles chart for 15 weeks. It made number 34 in Sweden, number 36 in Belgium. So, you know, there was a little bit of European love for it as well.
Amazing. So then now Precious are going to sort of get back to work and work on the rest of the album. But what I must say, and I think I've probably mentioned it on here before, Precious were the support act of a boys' own concert I went to back in the day. And we didn't see them, though. We arrived after they had performed, and I was absolutely gutted. Joel. Look, darling, I was under 10. I can't decide what time we arrive at Wembley Arena. And the hardest thing is, David, is that we had really good seats. We were like fifth row. I could have been fifth row watching Precious.
Wow.
And I was just, I remember getting the programme, because the band hadn't been on yet, being, oh, I'm really excited to see Precious. And no, we'd missed them. I'm still gutted about it to this day.
It still comes up at every family reunion.
How dare you! So, let's move on now to the year 2000. Cleopatra become spokeswomen for CoverGirl lipstick.
That is a huge, amazing look. They shot a commercial. They did a little jingle for it. You know, the type of people that get CoverGirl deals are like Brandy, you know, like really big models. And there's our girls, three sisters from Manchester, up on that screen. CoverGirls, like, this is a fucking great look.
Exactly. It is literally iconic status. I hope they got a nice big paycheck for it.
You want beautiful lips? Give this a try. Take one great lipstick and multiply.
CoverGirl introduces triple lipstick.
Triple lipstick. Here's a breeze of beautiful CoverGirl.
Also, in January 2000, series 2 of their Cleopatra TV show started airing on CITV. In February 2000, they released a cover of Right Back Where We Started From to coincide with Disney's An Extremely Goofy Movie.
And also, this was a UK top five smash for Sunita, so...
Was it?
Yes. So, you know, really talk about coming for the gays at that point.
It was a cover when Sunita released it as well, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a Sunita original, no.
Hats off to Sunita. Absolute legendary status here in the UK. And then in March and April 2000, this is where things get really exciting. Precious release their second single, Rewind.
Woo!
And for me, this is my favourite song we're going to speak about today.
Let me show you everything that could be, all the love.
Fucking hell, this sounds like Britney's Baby One More Time. Like, it really feels like a very good pairing.
It's the era. A lot of songs have that, you know, in a great way, because that is just how songs sounded at the time. This is literally Precious giving the gays everything they want.
Oh my God. The music video, they are sexier and sultrier than ever. Dressed in all black leather trousers, serving hair flips, choreography. Like, this is what we love in a girl group, isn't it?
Imagine if warehouse raves were like this. Sexy fences, sexy warehouse, sexy lights, sexy black and leather dress code, pop as a clock, pop bops only.
Wind machines everywhere. Ugh.
They would be amazing. And, you know, not like whatever music they play at warehouse raves, but just songs that are Precious Rewind level only.
This is what we need to do, really. Not just create a club night, like a Right Back At Your club night, but a set within a warehouse that looks like a Y2K pop music video.
Yeah, a pop-up rave Y2K party.
Yes, that just looks like something out of a Samantha Mumba or like a J-Lo Y2K music video. We need a set build for that.
With like a catwalk for people to walk
and
around.
And it's all lit
sexy
up.
Fences.
The catwalk is lit up, yeah.
Oh. Well, look, if we've got any investors listening.
If Richard Branson is listening.
And then we could get someone to release a dance single to launch the night.
Jenny Frost.
Jenny Frost. The pop comeback of Jenny Frost. Right Back At You featuring Jenny Frost.
We can't even DJ or produce, but we're putting our names on it.
Speak for yourself, David. You don't know what I've been up to during this time. I tell you what, David, as huge as Say It Again was for me, I wasn't a savvy kid, you know. There were just things that you either saw and hit or things didn't. So this is something I've discovered as an adult, you know. Precious were like always a pop culture mention, and Say It Again was always a classic. But beyond that, I was a bit oblivious. I saw Precious in that Boyzone booklet, but I didn't know or have the other work known to me.
Sadly, because you weren't aware of it at the time, you couldn't go out and really stan and, you know, buy the single and really get behind it.
It is devastating, but we live another day. So this song was a very respectable UK number 11.
Very sadly, Rewind only spent 2 weeks in the UK top 20. It really deserved better. This episode should just be hashtag justice for Rewind.
Our club night, our warehouse can be called Rewind.
Yes.
The Rewind Tour, and we can tour warehouses.
I think that might be copyrighted already, you know, that festival I worked on.
No, not if we call it Right Back At Ya featuring Jenny Frost, the Rewind Warehouse Tour.
Agreed.
See you there. Thank you, baby. So, No Rest for the Wicked. July 2000, we have a lot going on.
For both of our pop groups, right?
For both of our pop groups. So shall we talk about Precious first?
Or yeah, do you want let's to talk about keep Cleopatra it on Precious first? For this minute. Then we switch to Cleopatra.
So we have the third single from Precious. It's gonna be My Way. Now, David, this song sounds both garage-sounding and American-sounding at the same time to me. I don't know if you agree with that.
It's so unique, isn't it? I don't really hear the garage influences, but I think it's because it's a type of Y2K pop R&B that we know and love, but a little bit more minimalist, which is probably why the focus is more on the beat, right? That kind of gives you the flavour of sort of like garage. But it was actually written and produced by Swedish hitmakers Anders Bagg and Arnthor Bergeson, who did Samantha Mumba's Gotta Tell You.
Wow. Well, look, darling, as an Essex boy, garage is huge there, so you just don't get it, right? That is legendary producing status. Like, Precious managed to get great people on board.
They sure did. It was professional. So this video is gorgeous, and it's very hard to say chicken and egg, which came first. Was this meant to be the US version of the Say It Again music video, or was this the It's Gonna Be My Way video? And then they decided, oh, we got a couple of extra hours. Why don't you do a dance routine to Say It Again and lip some words, and then we'll cut up some of the scenes and make the US version.
The Say It Again US video and the It's Gonna Be My Way video were done on the same shoot, same location, same outfits, same shots in some of the videos.
Yeah.
It just, the lighting and the grade complements the Say It Again US version so much more.
So you saying this music video they shot is a better look for Say It Again US version than it is for It's Gonna Be My Way?
Yeah. Well, I just think if you look at them as two final products, the Say It Again one looks better, but I think the point
See,
of it
I'm
must
the
have
opposite.
Been the...
I think in my heart and my mind, this is the It's Gonna Be My Way video. And I love that it was such a slick and minimalist R&B song, but they're just going at large with this FHM-style beach shoot on a desert island. For me, it just feels better for this than Say It Again.
Right.
If I had a choice, though, if I had creative direction, I would not use this set or this mood board at all for either songs. I wanted to see more choreography, maybe like a more inner city look for It's Gonna Be My Way. Maybe like, oh my God, like what the Bardot girls had with Poison, where each girl has their own room.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be cool. Just a show of everyone's personalities, you know. But it's not going to be my way for this video, so we got to let history be what it is.
Yeah, we can't rewrite history at this time. So It's Gonna Be My Way charted at 27 in the UK.
Very, very sadly, the single was out of the UK top 50 after the second week. So at this point, I bet EMI is probably thinking, shit. But I have to say, I commend them for keeping going with Precious. Like, the girls weren't dropped.
Yeah, and we've got to be really thankful that the album did come out, which we'll get to, because we see a lot that, you know, at 27, we wouldn't have the luxury of seeing the album after that. From one of our girl bands to another, we're going to talk about Cleopatra with the UK single of their second album, Come and Get Me. It actually charted 2 weeks after Precious's It's Gonna Be My Way. I'm going to ask you first, David. What are your thoughts on this song? Did you know this song before we covered this?
I was not aware of Come and Get Me, this comeback single. So this is all brand new information for me. Looking at the artwork, the shoot.
As they said, press here to start. And you did. Yeah, I knew they had a second album, but I didn't know any of the songs or anything until this research.
These girls have really grown up and they've sexed up their image.
They have. And look, I do think it's a really lovely song. I just think it would have been a much better second single of this era.
It's precisely the kind of pop R&B in the early noughties that I love. And shout out to Cutfather and Joe, who produced Precious's Say It Again. They were the ones behind this track.
Wow. It really is.
It really is a Cutfather and Joe episode in a way.
There's a lot of them. What we're going to get to in the second album, there's a lot of Right Back At Your royalty on that second album. So it's a Right Back At Your royalty episode.
Also, I have to say, I just really find it funny when pop acts reference themselves in songs. In that lyric, ever since Cleopatra's theme, you've wanted a touch of love.
It just feels too soon, personally. It feels... I'm sure it wasn't, but it feels desperate. It's like we've got to remind you of the first song.
Do you feel, honestly speaking, that this comeback single has kind of lost a little bit of the spark and the magic of what made them cool?
Yeah, it does feel a bit like when the Spice Girls came back with Forever.
But also, you got to let people grow up. You know, they were very young when they wrote the stuff for their first album.
Yeah.
Come the second album... You know, the older sister is 20 years old. They were all slowly coming of age and they probably wanted to show off a different side, an edgier side, and they were probably listening to other music. They were wanting to express themselves in a different way.
Yeah.
But I think for the audience, it's just like, wait a minute.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I just think the styling in the music video, it's actually really good sort of teen night out styling, like what teens would wear at a club night out or what I remember kids when I was a teen wearing, you know. If they were comfortable, then fine. Absolutely go for it. I just hope they were comfortable doing it, yeah, is my exactly. big concern. Like, stereotypically, when you're younger, you want to look as, like, sexy and older as you can make yourself look.
Oh, yes. We've all been through that phase, yes.
We've all been through that phase.
The image just came a lot about with us growing up, wanting to be ourselves, and this is how we feel comfortable, it's how we see how we want to be perceived, this is how we want to look. I mean, the look beforehand was fun, it was great while it lasted, but it had to go.
With this image, definitely slots in because it's slinky. I mean, look at it. It's just so adorable, and it's sexy as well, and there's nothing wrong with being sexy. Everyone likes a little bit of sexiness.
So this song charted at 29 here in the UK, and I think that does represent just how little promo there was of it. Like, I have no recollection of them coming back with this song.
I bet you Madonna getting the press report every week and the charts and the stats is probably sitting in her study at home flicking through it. Lourdes is, you know, trying to get her attention for something. Not right now. Mummy's working. Going through the chart, the spreadsheet for Cleopatra and going, now this is a concern.
It's not a concern. I'm just disappointed. I want to know where, I want to know where Madonna was at this point. I think she could have shown up for the girls or helped with a push. So before we talk about their second album, let's talk about what was their lead single of this album in the United States. You Got It.
Now, Joel, this is my favourite song on the album, I have to say.
Oh, really? So this, I do think, is a fabulous single and music video. I think it's also really expensive and elaborate. It's just, if you have this in under your sleeve, why not release it worldwide? Why not use this as a big comeback in the UK?
You know, I love a noughties club music video where people are like strutting through. You know, like how Mystique has One Night Stand and the girls are hitting the clubs together, they're strutting in together.
I am desperate to go to this club. It's especially when in TV and film and music videos, when clubs have more of like a theatrical look, when it looks like a theatre that's turned into a club, which this kind of looks like.
It looks like Coco.
It looks like Coco. It's so cool. Finally, we've got a cowboy hat, which I think is for the first time this episode. I would wear the outfits in this video if I could pull it off. You've got them getting
every single look.
Every single look. You've got them getting ready in front of the mirrors, which again is just another big room in this venue. And it's so you've got getting ready and then you've got hitting the club. And it's just big teen night out.
It's just fun, isn't it? It's a girl's night out.
So that was the only single in the US. Like the other single was the only single in the UK. But this song was the number one requested on Nickelodeon. I didn't even know Nickelodeon had music video requests.
Sick. Wow.
And it was also on the TRL countdowns as well.
Yes. That's amazing.
It is amazing. But unfortunately, even with all that, it didn't chart in the US. But We know what the US is like. Like, that's really impressive still that it was on TRL, was on Nickelodeon. And luckily, we have YouTube so we can watch the video now.
And also, we need the Cleopatra Hive and the team to, whatever you've got in your archives on VHS, on mini disc, CDs, whatever, like, please rip and upload because we want to continue with our binge discovery of Cleopatra and Precious as well. Do us all a favor and get digitizing.
Get digitizing, get strategizing. So in August 2000, they release Stepping Out, Cleopatra's second album in the United States, and it also gets a Japanese release. But unfortunately, it doesn't get a UK release as it keeps getting pushed back and it's never materialized.
We're very thankful, though, that it is on streaming right now here in the UK. Cleopatra worked with some fucking big names for this second album. They worked with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who is famous for doing Janet Jackson's hits. Stargate does some tracks on there. Cutfather and Joe, who we've mentioned before. It is a really impressive level up for our girls.
It's an expensive album.
Even the photo shoot, Joel, the glass staircase, like, that is slick.
Oh, yes. There's a European cover, which is what we have on streaming, and then there's also a US and Japanese cover. Do you have a preference of the two?
I prefer the Japanese edition, which is like you can see the stairs face front. I don't like the one that we have in the UK where it's just a side profile of the stairs and the three of them are sort of scattered on it.
Definitely the one that you said where they're all face on and the three different sets of stairs is just like a girl band here to slay.
Mm.
It's just a shame that this is sat on and not released over here. If you've got something that's been so expensive and had so much work on and is really good, it seems such a waste to not release it in your most important territory.
But I think what's happening is we're starting to see that there is a disconnect between the label and maybe what the girls wanted to do.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, we should definitely talk about our favourite songs or highlights on the album, right? Joel, go first.
The very opening track, Press Here to Start, is a great starting track. It's very modern. It's very the internet. It's all very Y2K.
You know, I love nothing more than a love song or a sexy pop song with technological references, like Britney's Phonography, like Beyonce's Worldwide Woman.
Digital Get Down by NSYNC.
Digital Get Down, yes. You know, the girls, the Cleopatra sisters on here were like whispering, click here. You know, we've got lyrics like, my software needs some protection. A hardware connection. Click here if you need affection. Ooh.
Wow.
She literally opened up the Norton's antivirus protection package and went, what are the keywords here?
Yeah.
I also really love the album track Who's Your Woman, which in my mind I'm picturing as the Joel Babington album one R&B song.
Yes, thank you for that.
Like you on tour with hip hop dancers, really giving it big with a choreography.
Yes, that's your contribution to JB1, and I really thank you for that.
Thank you, baby.
It's a real thank you.
Everyone's
it's a
sick
real
of it
highlight.
By this point. I'm sorry, we're just pushing it too far.
It's a great 2000s pop R&B album.
I was off that age where I was like, okay, I was looking for sexy, I'm looking for cool. You know, that was the vibe.
Another one of mine is You Can't Be In My Life. It's very like Spanish meets Garage, which is cool. And then I really like the closer, Take Me Now, Stop, Stop. This is the one, I think.
Oh, yes. Like... I had a really good afternoon in the park listening to this second Cleopatra album. And when I got to the end with this track, I thought, okay, Joel's going to really like this one.
Aww. And I did. So is there anything else to say about the album, David?
No, sadly it didn't chart, so we don't have chart positions to read about, right?
It didn't, but as we've said, it's on streaming now and we'll include highlights of it in our playlist. So all we can do is celebrate it now for what it is, a great, solid, big, expensive album. I mean, this could have a vinyl release, I think. This could have been a real cult classic here. We could be talking about this album the same way we talk about Rachel's Come and Get It, the same way we talk about Holly's State of Mind, if it had had a release here, you know, if it had done something.
True.
It just seems like the label gave up before even giving it a chance. Like, what is the harm in pushing it out there and seeing what happens when you've gone this far?
That's our Cleopatra girls for now. We're going to finish off the episode with the remaining precious single and all-important debut album. Now, I'm very excited about this part as well because, you know, from like the late 2 a.m. texts I've been sending you, this is like literally what I've been chomping at to discuss.
So, shall we talk about the single first and then get into the album?
Go for it, yes.
So, New Beginning, the fourth and final single from Precious in November 2000. Now this song, it's probably the least favorite of my singles, but it actually grows on me every time I listen to it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because I felt the same way as well. Like, I never really had much time for this, even when I was listening to the album, but I find the chorus keep getting stuck in my head. Every time I look at the word new beginning, I can hear it.
It sounds like Rewind, but if the bop was taken out of Rewind.
A bopless Rewind.
But it is it's a great music video. They had really great music videos right up until the end.
Oh my God. Like, EMI was putting the budget to good use, weren't they?
Exactly, yeah.
The styling for this video is very Eden's Crush. You know, we've got sexy top, ripped jeans, heels, choker, wind machine in the hair flips.
Yeah.
Sexy casual.
So this charted at number 50 in the UK and...
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And, you know, it did come out around the same time as the album. And in my mind, I think they should have just released the album and really pushed the album. Like, all the budget for this song and single could have just gone to really pushing the album.
It's quite astonishing that the Precious album arrives in November 2000 when... It really maybe could have been an early summer release. Like, maybe when Rewind came out, they could have done the album then.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was completed by then, but that sort of feels like the time to do it.
Yeah, and if you've got four singles out by the time the album's out, it's a bit...
Nowadays, you would do that.
These girls were just trailblazers, you know? So, number 50 hit here in the UK, and shall we talk about the self-titled... debut, one and only album to date from Precious.
There's nothing more I would want from this very moment than to talk about that.
I need to ask you, David, what are your standout tracks? Come on, hit me with it.
Oh my God, let me go through the 67 texts I sent you that night. So Joel, first and foremost, this album has amazing pedigree behind it. You know, we've got Quiz and La Rossi, who do Steps and eventually years down the line would do the Saturdays Up. They're the main producers on this Precious album.
Mm.
My highlights on this album, obviously we're passing the singles, Stand Up. This Y2K disco vibe.
Yeah.
Is very kind of foreshadowing of what Atomic Kitten would do, wouldn't it?
Very Atomic Kitten album track. And I think it is the real album highlight.
You know, not to take anything from the album, but Stand Up doesn't sound like anything else on there. That's kind of why I think we appreciate it so much, because we've had this, you know, beautiful flow of pop R&B. And suddenly this is disco. Weren't the only ones that saw a bit of potential. So there was a Precious stand-up club remixes vinyl issued out the year before this album came out. EMI released Stand Up as a white label club only single. I don't know if we've talked about white label releases before on this podcast, but it's basically like, and they do this with a lot of our pop acts, they don't put their pictures on the release. It's just plain white with just, you know, sometimes the artist name isn't even very prominent or very big because they don't want DJs to have a certain preconceived notion before listening to the track.
This vinyl didn't include the album version, though, no, just remixes.
I think it was just remixes. The type of people that were remixing was like Mood to Swing, who have had success with Ultra Nate, like really credible people in the underground dance music scene. So I think it's amazing that there's this other side that the label was trying to achieve with Precious, like
Club Darlings.
Yeah.
And if it was one of the earlier recorded songs, I wonder if that was kind of the more original sound was disco pop, or there were more disco poppy songs on there. Who knows? They've already done four songs, and then you can pretty much list the rest of the album. I think Much Too Little is a great mid-tempo album track of the time. Like, it really encapsulates what you want from a girl band mid-tempo of that time. I think Step to Me is a really good album track.
It's kind of funny, but I don't know what to do.
And then, of course, David, is it even a pop album if there isn't a Diane Warren track on there?
There is a Diane Warren track?
Yeah, I Count the Minutes is written by Diane Warren.
Is it? Wow. It's quite catchy, that ballad. I count the minutes, I count the hours, right?
Yes. And also, did you know, David, the song These Days...
It's not the Bardot song.
It's not the Bardot song, but it was re-recorded by Mystique.
What?
It was included on their album Licking on Both Sides.
No way.
Our very loyal listener and follower at eLondonLad pointed that out to us. So shout out to eLondonLad.
Shout out.
If this was released on vinyl, David, would you want to get a copy of it?
I would want it in my collection because I feel like it's been so integral in my 2020 music experience. Like, don't be surprised when Spotify releases my 2020 songs, most streamed songs, Precious Stand Up is going to be in there.
And then I just want to ask you, is that your favorite album of the three albums we've covered in this episode?
I think if we can cherry pick from both Precious's debut album and Cleopatra's second album, then you'd have the perfect album for me.
That's really interesting because the second Cleopatra album is such like a David Lim shoehorned for you album. Now we're at, you know, the end of 2000, early 2001. Precious disbanded at the end of 2000. I mean, I guess they were dropped, not even reading between the lines, unfortunately. And what's interestingly enough, Precious ended at the end of 2000 and Jenny joined Atomic Kitten in January 2001.
Talk about a smooth transition from one job to another. She probably had a week off, you know,
it's
garden leave.
Get that P45 from Precious. Thank you, baby. Go into Atomic Kitten. Call my name.
Straight into rehearsals, fittings, photo shoots. Yeah, learning the lyrics.
Jenny, has it been difficult fitting into the band?
No, it's been good fun, actually. It's been a bit hard work, but they didn't steal me from Precious, right? Precious
all right, OK, let's resolve the Precious situation.
Right, let's get it over and done with. Yeah. Precious had split up before Christmas, and then I wasn't doing anything. I was unemployed, right?
She was on the dome, man.
You're on the only pop sub-bench, weren't you?
Yeah, I was on the pop sub-bench, and then the girls phoned me up and asked me to join, so I joined them.
Was there a little card in the unemployment office saying singer needed for band?
No.
And then also we have to say in 2001, the Cleopatra Girls did release a Japanese only single from the second album. Yes, This Party's Going Right. I do think it's a really good song, but I was expecting something a little bit more pop as fun for the Japanese market.
I wonder if they felt obligated to release this because this was, I think, the only Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis produced song on the album. You know, knowing the kind of level of hits that these guys produce, this is by no means the best of what they can do.
The label decided to scrap plans to push any more of that second album and they wanted to push Cleo as a solo act, but unfortunately that never really materialized. According to her, there's disagreements into what route they wanted to take it, and she wanted to take it. They wasn't allowing her to write the music, which is mad considering she's written all of the Cleopatra stuff. but good for her for standing her ground. And, you know, Cleopatra have reunited over the years in brief appearances on TV in 2005 and 2008.
They did the ITV show Hit Me Baby One More Time, where obviously they did their big hit, Cleopatra's theme, but also they covered Girls Aloud's No Good Advice.
They did. Of course, Cleo appeared on the second series of The Voice UK, did amazingly well on there. And more recently, you can see Cleopatra doing PAs. I really hope after this, there is a gay club or gay pride PA that we can see Cleopatra at. I would absolutely love that.
Me too, absolutely.
There were also rumours that after The Voice, Cleo and Cleopatra were going to do series two of The Big Reunion. I don't know how much of that was rumours or if there was any truth behind it, but unfortunately, they haven't been on The Big Reunion yet. I think a lot of people are really hoping for a third series of The Big Reunion, even after so much time. But would love to see them tell their story, because I think they must have such an interesting story to tell, much beyond what we've covered today. Obviously, talking about Precious, Jenny went on to have huge monumental success with
global success with Atomic
Kitten. Global success with cementing the definitive lineup of Atomic Kitten. And this podcast is nothing but a Jenny Frost stan podcast. So thank you, Jenny, for your contribution to two incredible girl bands. You know, the other girls of Precious have gone on to do really interesting things. Sophie was a TV presenter after Precious, including being on CBBC, which is actually how I know her first and foremost in my mind.
Oh.
And then it's going back to Precious and saying, oh God, of course, yes, yeah, Sophie was in that. And I think she's amazing in Precious, but watching Precious, it just seems like such a natural fit. She seems like a kids presenter in a way in that. Our lead singer, Louise Rose, has gone on to be an actress. So shout out to that. But what a voice. I think she could still release a solo album, you know.
Definitely.
And then Anya went on to be a model.
Yeah, I think Anya is a fitness instructor as well.
Model,
right?
Fitness instructor, killing it.
Killing it. And Callie is, I believe, now in artist management.
So, you know, taking her experience into managing the next generation of superstars. If I was picking managers, I'd be like, yes, I want the girl that was in Precious.
It's kind of like when we did our Bardot scandalous episode and we talked about the guy that used to manage Bardot being at one stage working for the Australian government.
Oh, yeah.
Advising the Prime Minister.
I mean, if he can help pick the right set of shoes for Sophie Monk, then he is going to help get this country into shape. Do you know what I mean? Well, David, look, is there anything more to say about these two incredible bands?
I just want to say this has been such a joy to deep dive into these two iconic British girl groups with you. I don't think I would have had the joy of doing this if I didn't meet you, because it's such a, you know, living together and, you know, our late night kind of wine and YouTube things was what got me onto Precious. And, you know, we got to talk about Cleopatra and all the other stuff and, you know, naturally the birth of this podcast. So shout out to you, Joel Babington, and to us, because I think these kind of slightly forgotten girl groups and pop acts is kind of what brought us to where we are here doing this and sharing this love with everyone.
Definitely. I love when we get to cover these kinds of acts, and it helped, you know, me growing up. It was such fun escapism then and now. So, David, thank you for talking about this with me. Guys at home, thank you for listening to us chatting about it. You have been listening to Right Back At Ya. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all socials. You can email us rightbackpod@gmail.com. If you like what we're doing, please do hit subscribe and leave us a 5-star review and tell your best friend or your other pop loving friends. I'm at Dr_JoelB on all socials, and he is
at LoveLimmy.
And what funky remix will play us out here, we'll find out.
It's probably Precious, you know.
One of those white label classics.
An underground club hit.
Like us, the underground cult hit podcast. Well, look, this has been a real blast. I can't wait to release it, and I can't wait for whoever we're going to be covering next.
Yes.
All right, bye.
Bye.